This morning is going to be sort of a bit of my testimony and a bit of the trip, because the trip's not over. We were just part of the beginning of it. Anyway, Father, I just thank you again for your faithfulness to be here in our midst. You've come to encourage all of us, Lord. You've come to speak to each of us. And just thank you, Father, that your word says that your sheep hear your voice. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Okay. Shortly after Vera and I got married, we had discussed the possibility of going to the mission field. And so we actually pursued the possibility. Vera was thinking about teaching English as a second language because you can get into just about any country to do that. And while that process was going on, I was thinking, well, what the heck am I going to do? I had no clue. I just like traveling and seeing different cultures and eating a lot of different foods. And that was one of the blessings that my wife and I have is that we love to travel. But to back up a little bit, for years I had seen the lack of the church in general, where they were not equipping the church fully. And I began to understand that as Dale Rumble taught about the equipping ministries and how we were to be equipped. And one of the things that I felt that much of the church was lacking was the reproduction of the church. And so what was happening in the church, and which is why we have so many mission organizations, is because the people that had the heart and the burden to go out and to bring the gospel to other nations and other cities, the church wasn't equipping them to go, but they said, oh, why don't you just go over to such and such a ministry and they'll equip you and, you know, they'll tell you what to do, basically. And so here I was, like, right in the middle of this decision, knowing that there was something in my heart to see the church fully equipped to be reproductive. And so I was before the Lord in a season that wasn't one particular day. He said, Paul, you want to do what's good or you want to do what's best? It was just really very clear. And I said, Lord, I want to do what's best. And he said, don't go. And boy, that was really hard for Vera. It was really hard for her because, you know, she's a teacher and she wanted to go out and reach other nations and travel and do stuff. And here I was saying, honey, I believe the Lord says to stay here. And so I did. Here I am. We didn't go. But eventually, as time went on, we had the opportunity to go to the Philippines. And we had in our heart to see a reproduction process there. There seemed to have been an open door at one season, but it just wasn't happening. And you can't force things. You have to allow the Lord to do those things. And prior to us going to the Philippines, there was this group that was going to Mexico. And every time that they had a trip coming up, I really wanted to go, but I just couldn't because of my job or whatever, the family situation. I just couldn't go to Mexico, but I was a couple of times went to the Philippines, which we still have relationships there, which is amazing for the few times that we've been there. And we still sew into that physically through school supplies and things like that. But then the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to go to Mexico, and basically it was the same thing. It was the church here was just going down there, and I realized that there was almost like a closed door there for a season where, you know, these guys that were going down had a heart to see a New Testament church be established there, and we know that that usually starts through relationships, and we tried to build relationships, and I sort of came in the middle of that process, and but something tragic happened in Mexico. It was really a tragedy. And there was a there was like a splinter of the congregation that we were in relationship with, and a family was ostracized, really. And it was really a tragedy because these were people that we knew, we loved, and we loved people on both sides of the fence. And it's like, what the heck is going on? And it was just about that time that Joy had gone down there, and she felt that God was calling her to Mexico. She wanted to live down there, so she was right at that point. She was taking like a year just to kind of feel things out, and we were kind of being supportive of her going and doing, and so here she was watching this whole tragedy take place, and so the family called us here at Fountain and said, told us what happened. And they said, would you guys cover us? Because we don't know what to do. We don't really know where to go. So we said, absolutely, we'll cover you. Because we already have this relationship. And to make a long story short, this family did connect with another group that was not really an organized church, but it was a family where a miracle happened to the father of the home, where he had a very tragic accident with his foot. God miraculously heals his foot, and a bunch of people were just gathering together, and because they knew each other, they began to gather with them, and they began to worship together, and before you know it, there was this little group that was growing in the town of Puerta de la Lima, means the door of the lime. There's a lot of limes in Mexico. So as time goes on, now we're going down to visit. We wind up visiting with this church. We're trying to maintain relationship with the other group. And we're working with this other group, and we realized that God was really doing something very big because it just kept growing, where the other one just kind of kept shrinking. And so we just remained friends with them, and we supported them. And there came a point where they were saying, well, what do? We don't have a pastor. And we say, well, we have a pastor. His name is Jesus. And, you know, we began to just tell them about our structure here of elders, a plural leadership here, and we recognize that the plural leadership is the equipping ministries of the saints, and those are the men that God brings and gives to the church for the equipping of the saints. And everybody knows the story, right? For the most part. But here I was finding myself in the middle of this, and I began to realize that the Lord was answering my prayer. He was showing me what was best. He placed me in a position where I could be part of the team, be part of the process of the reproduction of the church. I've never been part of that. And so in 2016, we went down and spoke with the congregation and talked to them about who they saw as leadership. We basically saw who the leadership team were, but we wanted to hear from them, and they were all on the same page. And so we gathered this group together, and we kind of released them to work as a team. We didn't say, you know, you're the elder, you're the senior pastor. None of that conversation. Just you guys have been leading, you've been serving, you've been leading worship, you've been teaching, you've been doing all these things. And so 2016 is when we put that together. And so here we are at 2024, 8 years later. It was an 8-year process to see the change in what was going on in these men. There was initially 6 men. One of the men moved to another state. He got married and moved. A second one kind of felt to back off because he wasn't really sure about if he should be part of the team. And then another brother came in with his wife, and they decided to stay. We knew them from the national trip that they took. I won't go into the detail of the national trip, but so out of those 5 men, we saw 3 of them that were ready to be released as the eldership of the church. And we went through a process and talking and communicating with the men down there. They're coming here. We're talking to them. And they passed on the information to the congregation that these were the 3 men, and they were all saying, yes, amen, amen, that was correct. And so here we are today, and this is where I'm just really flabbergasted that what God did is he answered the cry of my heart. He allowed me to do what was best, and to me that was best. Had I gone off to the mission field, yeah, I probably would have done things and figured out what I was going to do, but it wasn't going to be a reproduction of the church the way I had it in my heart. Because most people that go into missionary groups, they don't reproduce the church, they reproduce the missionary group. They plant other mission groups or stations, and that's what they reproduce. But when we've seen them, they're not being fully equipped because their only focus generally is evangelism. So, with that, I want to share something that the Lord gave me for this trip. We were going down on the Sunday. Well, we went down on a Saturday. The following Sunday, Wayne and I shared with the congregation, and we went through different aspects of a New Testament church. What does it mean to be an elder? What is it? What are the 5-fold equipping ministries? And what are the qualifications for those men, et cetera, et cetera. We taught a lot of different things. And those are things that I've taught and heard for many, many, many years. And yet, as I was preparing for that, the Lord actually gave me a revelation. I was just telling Cheryl this morning about this. You guys have heard the term where the apostle and the prophet laid the foundation, right? And I sort of had a understanding of that, but it wasn't like resonating really deep down inside. And when I was studying for this and I was studying what an apostle is, it just means someone who is sent on a mission. That's all it means. And that's generally what people think that a missionary is. They're kind of sent out on a mission. But the apostle represents Jesus Christ. And so we have to backtrack to see what was his mission. What was Jesus' mission? Right? And that's what we celebrated here today. His mission was to lay his life down. That was basically it. I mean, he did a lot. He ministered a lot of things, but he came to lay his life down. And Paul even writes that we're here to complete the work that Jesus started. Not that Jesus failed at what he completed, what he did, but we're here as the church is to complete, is to take that message to all the world. And then all of a sudden, the light went on in my brain. That's the foundation, the apostle and the prophet. The prophet says, have you listened to the Lord? Have you taken time to be with the Lord? Are you listening to what he says? His sheep hear his voice. If you're one of the sheep, you'll hear his voice. But it's the apostle that lays the foundation in our lives to say, are you willing to lay your life down to go do what you heard the Lord to say to do? And I'd never heard that. It's like all of a sudden, bing, that makes sense. The apostle and the prophet. We need that foundation to first hear the voice of the Lord and then to be able to go out and be willing to just sacrifice our lives as Christ did for the sake of the gospel. And we know it's not a position. These apostles and evangelists and pastors, teachers and all that stuff, they're not positions. They're just other sheep that God gives as gifts so that we collectively can represent Christ fully. We can represent him as apostolic, as going out on a mission like we have in many ways. We go out on a mission every first Wednesday of the month. We take what God has put in us. We go, we spend time with people in the community, and what do? We sit there and we communicate with them. They ask us questions, and we just start downloading on these people. Sometimes they have no idea what you're talking about, but it's okay because we have the opportunity. And sometimes we just do that with family members. God sends us out. We have a time with a relative or a brother or sister. And what do? We find ourselves in this conversation and they're asking us questions. And guess what? We just start downloading the things that God has already built in us. So what an awesome time we had. Or at least Vera and I, just for this 1 week, we did a lot of things. But it's basically, as soon as we got there, we had the Sunday morning service. And guess what? They meet at 8 in the morning. You're like, what? And why do they meet at 8 in the morning? Well, they meet at 8 in the morning because La Panita and Puerta de la Lima, that section is a tourist area. And this is big-time tourist time. And people come from mostly Canada and America. They come down there and they vacation. There's hotels and restaurants. And so a lot of the people in the church work, and they have to work on Sundays, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. And so the biggest meeting is actually on Wednesday, which is why they had the ordination service on the Wednesday, because most people could attend. And so we had a good time Sunday. What did we do again Monday? We went out to breakfast, didn't we? No, it was a dinner. Yes. Hold on a second. So yeah, Monday it was scheduled that Wayne, Robin, Vera and myself would meet with the three couples, and we went out to dinner together. And it was a very nice time, but it was a very revealing time too. Because one of the things we wanted to talk to them about was what happens to the woman, what happens to the wife when their husband gets ordained as an elder, right? Because in their culture, when that happens to the man, she like automatically becomes the other pastor of the church. And people actually call them pastora because she's the husband of the wife. And so we instructed them that that is nowhere here in the scripture. And so we had a conversation with them. And during that conversation, I was looking down the end of the table and I could see on the faces of one of the couples just like this. I said, uh-oh, something's not right. Something's not right here. But it was so good because the Lord said, just go up and talk to them. And this was kind of at the end of the supper. And so I decided to go down. And I sat next to them and I said, are you ready? Are you ready for this? And all of a sudden, the door open and all this stuff came out. But it was good stuff because what they were saying, this was the youngest couple. And so they don't have the same connection as the other two men because the other two men are father and son. And they both run a restaurant together. So their relationship is very tight. And the whole family is very tight. And but it's not tight where it's not open. There's not an open door for you to come in. But it's just who they are. And this younger couple comes in and they're kind of new in the congregation. I think they've been there maybe 4 or 5 years. And yet they don't have that same connection that the father and son do. And they were just, they were actually concerned. It's like, we don't seem to have the same kind of relationship as these other two guys. And so the Lord used that to encourage them that that's okay. It's going to take time. You know, it took time for the family to have good relationships because we've been through times with them where the family itself was like, you know, banging heads with each other. And so we had opportunity to talk to them personally. We went out to breakfast before we left. And God used that to basically tell this couple, God has called you here, and these people need you just like you need them. And just, I think just maybe because it was an outside person that was coming in to say that to them, it was like, okay, we can do this, okay? And so by the time we had the ordination service, they had big smiles on their faces. They were ready. They were gung-ho. And it was just, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And I had a young gal from the San Juan de Abajo congregation, which is where Pancho and Joy are. They're further south than where this is located. Her name is Abby. Abby is the niece of Pancho. Right, Vera? Oh, no, she's... She is the niece, but anyway, she came up after the service and she said, oh, Paul, that was such a beautiful ceremony. And it was, I mean, she was just, this is a young girl. I think she's like maybe 18, 19 years old. And she's just recognizing what God was doing. She goes, oh, I want elders in San Juan. And I said, it will happen. I said, this took 8 years. And her eyes like 8 years? And they all thought, and this was even by one of the wives, they thought we were just going to go and say, hey, you're an elder, I'll see you later. But we literally had, you know, teachings, we had exactly what we're going to do. We're going to have, we had the guys kneel down. Before they knelt down, we actually charged them. We had a charge to them. And did they agree to the charge? Then we turned to the congregation. We charged the congregation. Do you agree to accept the charges that these men, especially as overseers, and will you submit to that? And the last one was you submit, and that was the loudest amen. It was the loudest amen. In fact, even Tim gave a prophetic word. I don't think he had a clue about our conversation with this couple. But he actually went up during that service and he said, don't look down on your youthfulness. And they needed to hear that. Because here was another confirmation from another brother outside. And I think even the other brother that had a prophetic word had a very similar word to them. It was like, you were called here. This is God's calling. And it was like the enemy was just trying to like disqualify them. And it was just a beautiful time, beautiful time. And then we had a really neat blessing last night. We, first of all, we left late on the plane, and it arrived early. You figure that out. It must have been a really strong tailwind. I don't know, but... But anyway, we got out, we got to the car... before he got the car. That was the blessing. You have to go through customs. Veer and I got onto the plane. We got on the plane last because we were in section 4, which is the last section of the plane. And we're getting on the plane, and they're checking everybody's passport. Then you have to go to the next guy, and they want to see blah blah blah. And then there was all these little delays, and finally I'm like one of the last persons to come in, and they said, "Go stand over there." I was like, "Oh my goodness." So I go standing over there. I had to wait for all the people to go through, and then they wanted to search my bags. They wanted to search me, take my shoes off. I was like, "What?" But I think it was just a random search, and you know, I look suspicious. So, and Vera just had to stand there and wait. You know, they didn't want to search her. Anyway, that was. But getting home, we got home early. We got off, and we got off the plane. Well, we were in the end of the plane, so we got off pretty. We were the last ones, basically the last ones out of the plane. And we get down to the customs, and there's this long snake line, maybe about 100 people, 150 people. And we start to turn. The girl says, "You know, U.S. citizens, go down here." And so we go down. And one of the guys said, "Wait a second, come over here." It's like, are they going to search us again? And so we went over to the guy, and he, you know, those little ribbons, they have these real strong fences. You take the ribbon off and open. And he said, "You go down there." And there was a complete open line to a border inspection guy. No one's there, and it was four executives or something like that. And we just walked down, and we beat the whole line. So that was a blessing, right? And so we were home last night by just shortly after 10 o'clock. Anyway, so there you go. That's today's message. Lord, I thank you because what you demonstrate to me is there may be a couple that are going out and participating in this thing, but that's the heart of the congregation now, Lord. I see that as the heart of the congregation. They're willing to pray. They're willing to give to sacrifice. They're willing to lay their lives down for the sake of the gospel. And so now, Lord, there is a New Testament church in Puerta de la Lima that was never there before. And Lord, I just want to pray for this group because I know that the enemy's going to try to get in, and he's going to either come in from outside or from within and just try to cause the conflict. And I renounce that in Jesus' name, Lord. We just speak a blessing over what has taken place here. And that they would just be a catalyst for this, for the gospel of the kingdom to go in all the places that they're going to. Not only in Mexico, but in Central and South America, Lord, and all the different areas that you've been sending these men in. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.